During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. On this episode of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, I'm excited to speak with our guest today, Melissa Harris of the Feel Free Club. Melissa is a corporate professional who transitioned to professional organizing. She now specializes in helping others live more with less. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So tell us more about the Feel Free Club. How long has it been around? What's the purpose of it? Give us an idea of what you have going on with the Feel Free Club.
Okay, so the Feel Free Club is a minimalist organizing company based out of Atlanta. What we focus on is helping specifically women and mothers learn to live more with less. It has been my mission and in my personal life and assisting others to really be intentional about the things that are in their life, how they're spending their time, and getting rid of everything else that's getting in the way of enjoying just the day-to-day ins and outs. Life can be very mundane. Life can get very busy and prevent us from enjoying ourselves and feeling fulfilled. And once you take away all the stuff that no longer needs to be there, all the extra clothes, all the extra things to maintain around the house, all these extra chores, you start to enjoy life more. So that is what the Feel Free Club is about. And as a professional organizer, I help people do that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think so many of us know exactly what you're talking about, because when things are cluttered and going crazy around us, it just makes the things in our head seem 10 times worse. So that totally makes sense. Now, this is the Feel Free Club isn't something that you've been doing forever. This is something that is newer for you, right? So let's go ahead and start from the beginning. Let's go back to when you received your degree in psychology. What was your plan? What did you envision doing then?
Right. So all my life, I had an interest in psychology. When I was in high school, I took college courses in psychology, because I knew that down the line, I was going to get my PhD. I was going to be a therapist, and that was my main goal. I graduated from Georgia State University and planned to get my master's in counseling. And I realized then that I didn't want to do more school. I didn't want to continue down this path of lack of experience and more knowledge. I was just ready to jump into the world. So, of course, I got my feet wet. I got myself a corporate job. And, I mean, months after feeling so accomplished and feeling like, okay, you know, I've got my life together, I was terribly sad, terribly unhappy about the whole corporate life, and immediately just started looking up new ways to have a fulfilling life and take control of that. I decided that let me try life coaching. It fits really nicely with psychology and counseling, and it's more about taking action. So I went and got certified in coaching, and I knew I was going to start a coaching practice. But even after then, I found out that my passion for organizing and decluttering and the power that it has to enhance life outweighed my passion for counseling, coaching, that realm. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to see if I can take this organizing thing that I love, this hobby, this skill that I've had since I was 6 years old, and turn it into a business. So I did just that. In 2016, I actually launched my business once I left my corporate job.
Nice. So I really like the marriage between the life coach and the professional organization. I think that there's definitely some crossover, and it's a nice complement to each other. So when you went and got certified as a life coach, were you still working a 9-to-5 at the time?
Yes, okay. Of course. I mean, there's no business without money, without clients. And I knew I needed at least a foundation. And since it is more, since coaching is something that you can do virtually, I knew I didn't have to leave my 9-to-5 in order to pursue it. That was the goal to eventually, but I took my courses while I was still working. I worked with clients while I was still working. I definitely wanted to set myself up for success. So by the time I left, I had something to fall back on that I knew was going to work.
Right. So you basically created a transition plan for yourself then, right? You had something, you had sort of things ideally laid out in your mind how you wanted to make a transition, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've always been that kind of person, you know, especially for ambitious people and ambitious women. We have our plans and we have our goals. And a lot of us lay out some type of blueprint of how we would like things to go. But like I said, even though I had that plan, it was months later, I got pregnant. And those plans for coaching was done. And
wow.
Months later, I decided that, you know, organizing is what is best for me. Like, life throws us all these kind of curveballs that we do not plan for, we don't feel ready for, but it's taking that experience and allowing it to grow us into what we're really meant to do. And even though the transition was crazy, I can't lie, it did lead me to where I am happiest now as an organizer.
So you made a decision to quit your corporate job, right?
See, I had planned to quit, but honestly, I got laid off. So
okay.
I kind of, yeah, God kind of just made that work and said, because of the person you are, you're probably not going to quit because you won't feel secure enough to jump out and do this thing. So I got laid off, and then I said, okay, I'm going to use this opportunity as I look for a job to build my business. And
right.
Building the business kind of just took over, and I didn't have to do that anymore.
So when you got laid off, you had already taken the certified life coach courses and everything, right?
Correct.
So you were already in the midst of exploring the life coach journey. Then you get laid off. And are you now thinking, I'm going to go and try and find the same type of job that I had before? Or were you looking for positions that maybe had more in line with like the life coach type of experience, like professional, you know, positions within another
right.
corporation?
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I was looking for. I knew I did need income. And so now that I understood more of what I was looking for and what I wanted out of a career, I said, okay, it's not just about getting a job. At first, you feel like, okay, it's just about getting a job, getting money, getting some benefits. But then you realize, okay, there are some things that I really want out of a position. And so I started looking for these jobs. Once I left, I was more in line with, you know, what I cared about and what mattered to me. And it helped me to build a business of my own, because I also found that about myself, that I definitely wanted control over my career, my time, and how much I made. So
that makes sense. So if you had to pinpoint it, what would you say was the, like,
the cause or the pull for you making like this professional pivot, really, because you are still working in a similar space, being it psychology and going more toward the life coaching and the organization. What would you say was like something that happened? Was it something in your personal life or just professionally? Was there something that that caused this pull?
Absolutely. When I got pregnant, so first, you know, if you want to just rewind back a little bit, I realized I wanted to have control over my time. At the end of the day, it was all about freedom. I wanted freedom over my time. I wanted freedom of my money. I didn't want nobody telling me what to do, all right. These things. But it wasn't until I got pregnant that, and I had my son, that I was like, oh my goodness, I have no time to spend with him. I don't have energy to go out on the weekends and enjoy time out and about in the world, spend time with family. I'm tired. I'm waking up. I'm doing all these things just to maintain my life, and I'm not enjoying my life. And, I mean, I'm literally in tears driving to work, driving home from work each and every day because I'm so frustrated. And it was then that I knew that I could not take it as far as having a career that just supported me financially, but gave me no other freedom to do the things that I love to do. Mm-hmm. So, and the only way to do that, because you know what's important to you, the only way to do that is to create a career for yourself. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily you have to be a business owner, but being very intentional and strategic with how you receive income can give you the freedom that you're looking for to experience all the other things that you want in life. So right. That was a major thing.
That makes perfect sense. And usually we all get to that point and you have those moments where you're like, what am I doing? And that's why we call it the plot twist years over here. It's like the cousin to the quarter life crisis, because, you know, I feel like when people reference the quarter life crisis, it's almost like it's a specific time. And this happens within this specific time and it comes and it goes. But I feel like these plot twist years are when things happen, life happens, right. And it can be right. Over multiple years. And sometimes there's highs and sometimes there's, you know, peaks and sometimes there's lows because, like you said, you know, you didn't anticipate getting pregnant. You didn't anticipate getting laid off. Things happen. Oh. So then yeah. You have to figure out, what am I going to do next? What does this look mm-hmm. like for me next? You know, so when someone is seeking change or growth and you know, they're looking and they're trying to navigate these plot twist years, what would be some of the initial questions that you might suggest someone would take the time to sort of answer and ask themselves?
Right, right. It's all about self-reflection. A lot of things happen in our lives that we have zero control over. Accidents, you know, changing careers. I mean, just things happen due to whatever. So when they do, it's all about looking within yourself and saying, what can I learn from this? How can I use this opportunity to see the brighter side of things? Mm-hmm. You know, I've definitely gone through a lot of transitions and a lot of events have happened that have forced me to sit down and really be quiet and just take inventory of what my life is looking like, what's going on, and what I need to do next. And I don't think a lot of people take that time because they just quick to react, oh, okay, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, when really it's taking the time to look within yourself, like, how can I better this situation? How can I use this situation? And what is the silver lining? Because it's in that silver lining, it's in those solutions where we're transformed into the person that we're supposed to be becoming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Yeah. And so what, like through all of this transition and through all of the different experiences, when would you say that you figured out your why? And Can you share with us what your why is?
Yeah. A lot of people talk about the why, right? Like, you have to know your why, focus on your why. So, because when you're down, your why is going to keep you moving. And I believe that my why changes a lot depending on where I am and what's going on in my life. So initially it was, when I was working in corporate, it was like, you know, my why is I want to have control over my finances and I want to have control over my time. This is not allowing me to do that. Then when I had my son, my why was I want to spend time with him and be the kind of mother that can really teach their child and is involved in their child's life. And right now, my why is I want my own home, and in order to do that, I need to do this, that, and the third. So my why constantly changes, but the cornerstone of it is just freedom. It's freedom over my life, and a life that I can build that I'm proud of, that I'm not ashamed of, that represents all of who I am and what I'm trying to accomplish. So absolutely, my why is about freedom, and it's about a life that is meaningful to me at the end of the day.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love it. I love it. So how would you describe your life right now in one word?
Oh, gosh.
I know. Only one word?
I know. One word, right.
The pressure.
But honestly, right. But honestly, shameless. I had to, when you have to have a sense of security in yourself when you're trying to do something new. And every day as an entrepreneur, I'm doing something new. You know, some days it's bigger things, some days it's smaller, but I have to be shameless in who I am and what I believe when I speak to others or when I do things, because that's going to say a lot about who I am. And that's going to let someone else know the real me. And that's how you invite people into your world and experience it in a greater way. So right now I am very shameless in who I am and what I do. And I just, I focus on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And speaking of, you know, shameless to me also goes right in line with that fear factor and trying to rid yourself of it and not really allowing it to play a major role. So I want to know from you, did you have any fear in making your decisions for change in life?
Ugh, all the time, constantly. and it's the reason why it's very scary is because you don't feel prepared for the thing that you say that you want. And when I was saying to everyone, like, okay, I want to be a professional organizer. I want to build an organizing business. No one really understood that or took me seriously because my body of work did not represent a professional organizer. So it's, people are doubting you. You're doubting yourself because, of course, now you're changing and you're starting from the ground floor. So there's a lot of fear in that. But at the same time, you know, life is filled with fearful moments, and it's just, it shouldn't be enough to stop you from experiencing the greater things. Because if you don't take fear along with you or find a way to get over your fear, you will never find the happiness that's on the other side or the success or the satisfaction, any of those things that we're looking for. I mean, even love and true friendship, it takes, there's fear involved. So to have those great things, you have to take the rain with the sunshine always.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's a part of opening yourself up and being vulnerable, like you said, in relationships and in business, because a lot of what an entrepreneur has to do is invite people into their world and show them what they're thinking, what their ideas are, and say, hey, this is here for consumption and I hope you like it. You know, I hope you enjoy it. That's why. And it's funny, even, you know, today, I don't know, I may be dating this episode, but I don't necessarily care. We found out today that Beyonce is pregnant with twins, and Miss Beyonce herself, she was one of the ones that people quote a lot now, and I'm sure she wasn't the first person to say this, but she said in some little docu-series that she did, she says, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. And, you know, a lot of people don't think of themselves as creators and artists and stuff, but I feel like when you are working in a space that is entrepreneurial, you can't help but be a creator. You can't help but be someone who is bringing ideas and concepts and things to this world, because that's a part of what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be putting things out there that are different for people, you know, even in the slightest. You know, it doesn't have to be some huge, you know, invention, but it's just your interpretation of things, you know?
And that's creativity, you know, your interpretation of this. In this form, and that's going to speak to different people who can relate. There's so much creativity in being an entrepreneur. It's not stiff by all means, and people say, oh, I'm not creative. You have to be. Everyone is creative. You were born creative, you know, and it's just using your imagination to get an end result. So creativity is, everyone has it. Everyone needs to learn how to tap into it, so to speak, if it doesn't come as naturally as you would like it to.
Right. And, you know, sometimes the fear could creep in with that, too. And it's an easy sort of cop out to say, I'm not creative. I can't do this and I can't do that, because you're afraid of what you actually might be able to do, you know, instead of just allowing yourself to just to grow and try and venture out and do things. It's like, you know, you have to put yourself in a position where you're trying and you're coming from this fearless perspective, because that's the only way you're really going to learn things, especially about yourself, right?
Yes. Yeah. And just a note on that, you know, we, like you said, we can use fear as a cop-out to not be creative or to not do this thing. Because if you were creative and you could do this thing, you wouldn't be so scared. Like, everyone gets scared, everyone gets nervous, you know, everyone has that fear. But just think about when you see someone else doing something great, you know, you see someone else speak, or you see someone else move a crowd or present their work. You're not thinking like, oh, this sucks. You're just thinking like, wow, they're incredible for even showing us this, and it's kind of cool. Some may think it's kind of not, whatever, but people appreciate when you step out on the limb and feel so convicted that you feel like you have to share. You have to share some type of way, you know. People are inspired by that, and I think that's enough reason to be like, you know what, it doesn't matter. Let me just do it. Whatever happens, happens. It's not going to kill any babies. It's fine. Everything is fine. Like, relax.
And you'll probably learn from it. Is there anything that you wish you would have known when you, it could be back from when you first decided, I want to go into psychology, to when you decided, you know, maybe I want to make a slight pivot in my career. Is there anything that you wish you would have known?
Yeah. I wish I would have, instead of being so gung-ho about psychology and surrounding all of my efforts around that one thing, I wish I would have explored all areas of myself, all things that I liked, and had this just a broader palette of experiences. You know, we kind of define ourselves by this one thing or this one accomplishment, being a a speaker, or, you know, I did football in high school, or I did this, I did that. So you let it travel with you and be part of you. But there are so many areas of who you are that you just kind of neglect. And it isn't until you start to grow into yourself and you start to pay more attention to yourself that you want to explore these things. But I do wish I had explored more of who I was earlier, so I could, there's no telling, you know, the other things that I would have tried or done by now. But it's never late, you know, you do it. You do things once you learn it, you know. Once you have learned something, it's really hard to unlearn, and it's become a part of you. So I definitely do that now and explore all areas without feeling typecast to a certain specific thing.
That makes sense, because that I feel like that's a big struggle and a big part of the plot twist years, in the sense that we are taking time because of probably something that's going on. We're now taking the time to explore the person that we are. It's like you said, you know, I can speak for myself. From the time that I graduated from school, from high school, I knew that going to college wasn't even a decision. It was like, you're going. So, okay, that was figured out. Then next, it was like, you're going to get a job. So everything was just like checking the boxes from, you know, one step in life to the next, until you look up one day and you're like, actually, what's really going on in my life? Like, what decisions have I made? Where do I want to go from here? And you start really taking inventory, and those are the years where you start to really learn and understand yourself and figure it out. And I feel like that's one of the things they don't tell you. They teach you all this stuff in high school. They ask you what you want to do with the rest of your life. Who do you want to be? But it's like they don't really tell you and prepare you for navigating just being a human, you know? It's like there's all these things, whether they be emotional or otherwise, that come along with just living and being a human and figuring this thing called life out, if you even think we can figure it out, you know, to the best of our ability. But no one talks about that. They don't until you get to a place where you have to deal with it, right?
Yeah. And they just say, you know, you're going to make it through, keep trying and stuff. But you really do need certain tools in order to deal with life, because you're anticipating that, okay, if I do this, this, and the third, then life is going to go smoothly. If I act right, if, you know, I'm moral, if I go to church, if I get a job, if I find a wife or find a husband, if I have kids, then my life will go well.
Right.
No. You know, you're checking off these boxes and these so-called accomplishments, not even taking the time to figure out, what kind of partner do I really want to have? What does my career really want to look like? What do I actually like? You know, do I even want kids? You know, and have I gone and done these things or explored these things? You know, we don't take time to reflect and figure things out for ourselves, and we're too busy checking the boxes, feeling like if we don't check it by this time, it's going to be too late. It will pass us by. And that is definitely not the case. Life is a gift. It is a journey, and it's to be lived and ventured, and not just, you know, checked off one by one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So do you think that there is a direct correlation between making changes in your professional life and your personal life?
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Period. Because
yes, period.
Because there is no success in your professional life without growing in your personal life.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, and I think people don't realize that there's so much personal growth that has to come before your professional growth. There's no way that you can achieve these great things or this great life if you don't look at your bad habits, if you don't learn a regimen that keeps you mentally and emotionally sound, if you don't have good financial practices, if you don't know how to treat people and be kind to people and considerate, if you don't know how to forgive and build friendships, if you do not work on your personal life and your personal self, there's no you know, professional success that you think you can make a lot of money. And there's no doubt anybody can make a lot of money. But to have true professional success, you have to start with the personal. That's a must.
So because your space that you operate in is professional organization and as well as life coaching, what role do you think organization plays in making like significant shifts in your personal or professional life?
A lot of the time when people reach out to me, they're ready to get organized because they're ready to do something else in their life. They are ready to write a book. They're ready to build a business. They're ready to have a family. They're ready to achieve certain things. And they know that without a doubt that they cannot do it if they have all this clutter, all these things in their life that they have no idea what to do with or where to start. So it's so powerful to get rid of the things that do not matter and only see the things that do, and that's contributing to the life that you're creating. We live in a country, in a world that is very materialistic, and our need for more stems from our need for emotional and connection, all these things that are really inside of us. But we feel like, okay, if we get this thing, then we'll be happier. But it's not that, you know, it's totally about really seeing what kind of life you want and keeping only the things that give you that life. So, I help a lot of people really see the things in their life, for what they are and make the decision to let things go so they can move on to like a different stage. It's like a rite of passage. In a way.
Yeah. I like that letting things go, because sometimes we hold on to so much stuff, and it's physical stuff, it's mental, it's emotional. So letting go is a good practice. Even if you're helping someone do it in a physical sense, they might be able to see how that can manifest in different ways in their life as well. So I like that.
I mean, everything that they're looking at, everything that you have, just think about your own desk or your nightside table. Everything on it, it correlates to something, you know, a memory or something that you did or something that you want to do or something that represents you. So these things in our lives, we're looking at them and then we're making decisions. Is this a person who I still am? Is this what I still want in my life? Am I trying to move forward? Am I trying to move past that? All these things, they represent something. So when you're looking at them and you're letting them go, you're letting go of the past and the hurt and whatever, and you're making a decision to move forward to something that's fresh, that's new, that more correlates to who you are today and what you're trying to be. So it's definitely a powerful thing.
So what's one thing that lets you know that right now you're living your life in terms of how you want to be living it? Like, you're living a life according to her.
Right. Such a great question. I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of my time. I'm in control of the things that I can be in control of. There's no one telling me that I need to do this every day, or I don't need to do this, or I need to be living like this. I can now make those decisions. And a lot of people, you know, can make those decisions for you, your boss, your friends, your parents. There are a lot of influences in our lives who try to advise us and gear us down the road that they think we should be on. But I can finally say that I'm determining that for myself, and that feels good. That feels like the greatest accomplishment, because I know that my life is in my hands, and, of course, God, the Creator, we are co-creating my life together.
Yes.
And that feels, that feels nice, you know? And there are days where feels like, okay, it feels crazy. I just wish it was just easier so someone could tell you what to do. But that's just, you know, your fear and your ego, and you don't want to deal with things. But it feels good to determine your outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely successful for me.
Yay! I love the control element, and you just owning that control and recognizing it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Melissa. And thank you for all of your words of wisdom. I hope that you have helped to inspire some of our wonderful ladies listening out there.
Thank you.
So you ladies can keep up with Melissa and all of her useful life tips and organizational tips and tricks and everything else on Instagram at the Feel Free Club. And you can visit her website as well at www.feelfreeclub.com for even more goodness. So thanks for hanging with me. And as always, keep killing it.